This is the Improved Photography Podcast, episode number 150. Hey everybody, welcome back to the Improved Photography Podcast. Today you are joined by thousands and thousands of photographers from all different countries all around the world, ready to sit down and get our weekly dose of photography knowledge. Today, I'm not joined by anybody. It's just you and me sitting down, and I want to talk a little bit about post-processing, specifically in Lightroom, but also I got to test out the new iPad Pro this week and tried Photoshop Fix on it, and it was really, really cool. Plus, a lot of things that I've been learning while I've been preparing the Lightroom Steel for you that is now available. You can go get it right now on improvephotography.com. It's a little bit strange for me today to not have other co-hosts with me, but I think we can learn some pretty cool things together. The reason that it's just me this week is I am literally sitting in a box of a house. I mentioned several episodes ago that I'm moving to Meridian, Idaho from nearby Caldwell, and we had to box up the whole house. I'm literally sitting in an empty house. There's nothing in the room except my iMac sitting on the floor and me holding my microphone because even my mic stand is gone. But we do not want to miss giving out a podcast episode to you. So I'm sitting down by myself to record this, and I have some cool thoughts for you. So let's jump into the iPad Pro. So the iPad Pro is Apple's brand new iPad that is huge. I mean, it's very large. Take the size of your iPad Air, which is their previously largest iPad, and it's two of them sitting right next to each other. I mean, it's twice the size. It is huge. And so, I don't know. We can debate for a long time what exactly this is for and who really is going to want one. For me personally, I'm not interested. In fact, I don't even use my iPad very often. I almost always am just using my iPhone 6 Plus. It's big enough that I don't mind watching media on it and doing things on it. My iPad is too unwieldy. It's too hard to type from. But for photo editing, an iPad form factor is really, really appealing. To me, it would be awesome if I could just go sit down on the couch and all my photos would be synced over from the computer and I could just work through a whole day's worth of shoot, seeing them big on the iPad right in front of me and touch the photo and make changes that I wanted to make, and then it was automatically synced back to my Lightroom library. I mean, that's a really appealing workflow. I think all of us would like that. And I really do believe that 5-7 years from now, that is something that we're going to be doing, that we're going to have that much flexibility with our workflow. But right now, there are some severe limitations to it. One is just the software. Now, I really like Photoshop Fix. Photoshop Fix is really neat. You kind of just have to try it. It's a free download. You can get the app. Basically will show your photo real big, and then it'll have, it'll have big icons for things you can do, and then you kind of just swipe around for the areas you want it to change on your photo. I don't know how to explain it, but it's a really neat interface. It's definitely worth just experimenting with and seeing if it's something that you like. It's light years ahead of Lightroom Mobile. The Lightroom Mobile app is cruddy. I mean, it's cruddy. I'm yet to meet a photographer that's happy with the Lightroom Mobile app. It's very complicated to use. I look at the interface and I just keep thinking, why did they do it this way? Why in the world did they make this interface? I'm very much not happy with Lightroom Mobile, but Photoshop Fix shows a lot of promise for me. It's not something I can currently use in my workflow because of that connectivity. It's too hard to get the photos in and out, but it is a very serious photo editor. The results I was getting were excellent using Photoshop Fix on the iPad Pro, and I can really see the promise in that. Now, the reason it's so hard to get photos in and out is, I mean, you'd never want to take pictures with the iPad Pro. In fact, I think Apple just put the camera on the iPad Pro as a way to haze people that actually use it. You can see somebody at a concert with this huge TV screen they're holding up for a camera. I mean, it's just absolutely ridiculous. I mean, seriously, I will disown you as a podcast listener if you take a picture with the iPad Pro. Don't do it. So you're not taking the pictures with it. You want to get the photos into and out of it. And it's that ingesting the photos and spitting them back out that's the real trouble with it. But I hope that that's something that we can do as the technology improves over the next several years. Well, I've been working on Lightroom presets, and I think maybe some people think I'm just saying it as a marketing thing when I say that I spend all year working on the Lightroom Steel. I really do spend the entire year creating these presets for the Lightroom Steel and the video trainings and everything else that goes with it. In fact, I spent 2 full working days just changing the checkout so it could be fast and seamless and beautiful to make everything work as smoothly as possible. Well, one thing that I did this year is I created stackable presets. So I know most of you usually go and get the Lightroom Steel when we release it on Black Friday, and it is available right now on improvephotography.com. Well, when you download the package, you're going to see some presets called stackables, the stackable presets for portraits. And I want to kind of walk through how to use those, because it's probably something different from what you're used to if you've used my presets in the past or really anybody's presets. Presets usually aren't made to work this way. So first of all, a preset is just a preset group of settings that you can create in Lightroom that with one click, you just click with one click and boom, it applies all of those settings to the photo. So it makes your workflow, I mean, lightning fast. I would hate working in Lightroom without presets. It would take so much more time. If you're one of those people that goes in on vacation and shoots 1,000 photos that you haven't edited yet, it's probably because you don't have a good collection of Lightroom presets, or you haven't learned how to use them right, because this should be extremely fast to edit with. But most presets, you know, you'll have in your left pane, you'll have a whole big list of presets, and then you see the big picture in the middle, and you click on one preset, see what it looks like, click on another preset, see what it looks like, and you just kind of go down the line until you find one that you like. And a pro tip here is you can just mouse over the presets, and then in the top left in that tiny little navigator pane, it'll give you a preview of what that preset is going to look like. Well, usually it's going to take several clicks to different presets until you find one that looks perfect on the shot, right? Well, the problem is, since all a preset is memorizing where all the sliders are, what happens if you do one preset that used a graduated neutral density filter, and then you click the next preset that doesn't use a graduated neutral density filter? Well, the problem is now you have some of the settings from the old preset and some of the settings from the new preset on there. And so you'd have to click a preset, go to the reset button to erase the changes, and then click on the next preset, see how it looks, click on the reset button, and 99% of presets that I see out there, even ones that are selling, some of them selling really well from other companies, work this way. And I just always think, do you really use your own presets, or do you just make these things? That's a horrible workflow to work that way. You need to be able to click, 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 and be able to get your look and quickly move on to the next one. And so the presets that I make always overwrite whatever was done in the previous preset, so that you can just click, click, click. You don't have to press the reset button every single time, which works much, much, much faster. However, the stackable presets work differently. And I should say, when you do a preset, it doesn't erase every setting that you've done. It just erases everything that a preset can do. So for example, if I have somebody who has some acne on their face and I've taken a portrait of them, well, when I apply a preset, I don't want it to get rid of the spot healing that I did all over the face. That took some time to get rid of. And so when I click a preset, it's not going to touch spot healing. It's not going to touch crops. Those are things that are really just fixes to the photo. You can't make a preset that also will do spot healing, and so it won't affect that. It's just affecting things like exposure, highlights, shadows, colors, that kind of stuff that you can actually put in a preset. Okay, so that's how the presets usually work, and it's much better that way. However, these new stackable presets, when you click one thing and then you click the next, it doesn't erase everything you've done. Because what I did with the stackables is I want you to be able to make it, if just a regular preset fits on a photo and then you can click it and be done, awesome. And 90% of the time, that's exactly what I do. But with a stackable, you can really tweak it to a particular photo without having to dive into moving around all the individual sliders. So here's how it works. In the stackables, you start with color. You start with tone. And so you're going to mouse over in the stackables. There are like 15 different presets, all that just give it tone. By tone, I mean, you know, the exposure, contrast, sharpness, that kind of stuff. And so you mouse over and get the tone just right. Don't worry about anything else. And then after you get the tone, so let's say on a particular photo, I want to just add a nice clean contrast, keep it basic, very clean, very simple. Next, I mouse over the color stackable presets. And I say, okay, I want this to be kind of bleached out. I don't want it to have a whole lot of saturation. So now I've added nice clean contrast and I've kind of bleached out some of the color to make it a kind of a desaturated look. And then the third step is go to the finish presets. And I can just say, you know, do I want it just nice, clean, small vignette with a little bit of sharpening, stronger vignette, etc. And so I click a tone, a color, and a finish. I just mix and match those three, and then I have my finished photo. So it's really, really cool that the stackable presets allow you to customize it to a particular photo exactly what you want when a general preset won't do the job, but you can still do it in that presets pane, and in three clicks, you got it done instead of having to dive through all your sliders and doing kind of the same things that you'd probably do on every photo. So those are the stackable presets. If you haven't used them before, I hope that's kind of helpful to know how it's used. But performance is something that a lot of photographers are interested in right now in Lightroom. And you know, if you've been listening to the podcast, that it's something that we have been obsessing about is performance in Lightroom. It's still not where I'd like it to be. But frankly, neither is Lightroom 4 or, you know, Lightroom 3 for that matter. It used to be faster than it is. But still, Lightroom just isn't, it's just not as fast as I would like it to be. However, I do feel like with the latest release 2 weeks ago to Lightroom CC that it is time to upgrade. And so if you've been kind of lurking, not sure if you should go to Lightroom Creative Cloud, I'd highly recommend it right now. I believe that the current version we have is the best version of Lightroom we've ever had. I do hope to see speed improvements more in the future, but I wouldn't consider it slower than Lightroom 5 right now. I think you're going to see a nice improvement no matter what version you're coming from. And you'll get some nice features, like some of the things we're going to talk about next with the dehaze tool and other things. But before we get to that, I want to take a minute and thank Studio Neat for sponsoring the Improved Photography Podcast. You already know Studio Neat. They make some really cool products for photographers. But the one that I'm most excited about right now is called the Glyph. The Glyph is this tiny little minimalist device that you, in fact, there's even a keychain for it, so you can just always keep it with your keys and always have it with you. When I'm out shooting with photographers, in fact, just last week when we were in Utah and Arizona with many of you, or last year, when I really noticed this is when we were in Iceland last year. We would all, you know, we all had thousands of dollars of equipment, traveled from across the world to get to Iceland. We'd go shoot at a waterfall or something, an amazing location. And after everybody shot with their DSLRs for a while, every single person would pull out their cell phone and snap a few cell phone shots with it. Because you want the photos accessible to be able to share. You want to shoot a quick panorama and play with it on your phone. Everybody was doing the same thing so they could text it to friends, etc. Well, when I noticed that, I thought, man, it would be so cool to have a little tripod mount for my camera so that when I'm shooting with my big DSLR, I could also set up the iPhone to do a time lapse, or if I want to do a slow shutter thing, there's actually a cool app for slow shutter on the iPhone. And then you can do those things just like you would with the DSLR. Now, it's not about getting the same quality as the DSLR. It's about using that fun device that we all like to take pictures with and taking it way to the next level by having that little tripod mount. So it does two things. The Glyph does two things. First of all, it just has a little quarter 20 thread on the bottom of it, so it'll just go right onto your tripod, and then it clips onto your phone. I really like the way that this clip works. It's better than any of the others that I've tested. When you first get your Glyph, it comes with a little Allen wrench, and you just tighten it down to just to the perfect size for your phone. And it fits my iPhone 6 Plus. It'll fit big phones, small phones. Don't worry about that. And once you tighten it down and get it set up for your phone, you're never going to need the Allen wrench again. It's fit to your phone perfectly, and every time you can just slide it right in. The ones that I've seen are kind of springy, that just kind of tighten down, never quite hold it just right. And so I really like how solid the Glyph is to hold your phone, but it's also super lightweight and minimal. Now, the other thing that the Glyph does is I have my phone in my pocket all day long. And so every time somebody texts me, I have to pull the phone out of my pocket, see what the text is. And then, you know, it's usually a text from Verizon saying I'm over my data usage because I used to way too much and put it back in my pocket. So I've changed to just taking my phone out every day and just setting it up on my desk, propped up so that I can see exactly what's going on as soon as anything happens. Well, the Glyph is nice for this because it's also kind of a kickstand for your iPhone that you can just set right on your desk, and then it looks nice for you. It's right there when you need it. Well, check it out at studioneat.com/improve. That's studioneat.com/improve. And we thank Studio Neat for supporting the Improve Photography podcast. That means a lot to us. Well, I mentioned that some of the features in the new Lightroom Creative Cloud really are worth upgrading for. And one that I've mentioned on several podcasts is the Dehaze tool. I'm using this in quite a few of the presets, but I have been really careful to build it in two ways so that if you don't have Creative Cloud, it'll still work fine. All the presets will work nicely for you. But if your Lightroom does have this functionality, some of the things will look even better. So what Dehaze does, I want you to just forget about the whole haze thing. Forget that it's even called that. I want you to think of Dehaze as a tool that targets large areas of gray or large areas of the same tonality, the same brightness. So if I'm standing against a concrete wall and you take a picture of me, well, you want the background to not just be a sheet of gray. You want to get some texture in there, make it look a little bit more interesting. So if you add contrast, well, it's going to make the concrete look more speckled. You know, it's going to take the shadows and make them shadowier in the tiny little speckles of shadow and the highlights a little bit brighter. But the whole wall is still going to feel like kind of a sheet of gray, a speckled sheet of gray now. But what we want to do is we add a nice transition on that gray wall to make it feel like there are more tones in there. Just adds a lot more interest to the photo. So I want you to think of the Dehaze slider in Lightroom as a way to target areas of the same tonality and add contrast, add a gradient just to those areas. And by thinking of it, you'll actually find a ton of uses for the Dehaze slider that have nothing to do with haze at all. In fact, I use them in a lot of my presets, usually very small amount, you know, up to just 5. But it does make a nice difference in black and whites. Whew! Some of the black and whites that I have made with the Dehaze slider, just really pop in a way that I've never been able to do without the dehaze slider. So I'm really excited for that. The other thing that we've mentioned quite a few times is night photography. It really is just gold for night photography. Getting that dark area between the stars to go dark and still leave the stars bright. Because usually when the photo comes straight out of the camera, the dark area between the stars is kind of a middle gray. And so there's not a whole lot of contrast in the sky, and it makes it so the stars really just don't pop very well. Another thing that I have learned in creating the Lightroom presets, this year I had a tough time because I had 127 presets, and I thought, oh man, this is just way too many. I've got to pare this down. And so it was like picking children, deciding which ones to put in the Lightroom preset deal and which ones to exclude. I just wanted the very best stuff in there. So you know, don't have a jillion presets in there that you get lost in Lightroom, but it's just the very best stuff. And if you've bought previous Lightroom steals, I would really recommend installing all of the new stuff and then go through the old Lightroom steals that you've purchased and kind of start weeding them out. Some of them just won't be a style that you don't particularly like. Some of these new Lightroom presets are crafted even better with the new technology and the latest trends. So you may want to just weed some of those out just to give you nice room so you have just a good collection of Lightroom presets without just proliferating them like crazy. So one thing I learned is that white balance is really handled poorly on the RAW files from some cameras. And so in previous years, I've had, just overwhelmingly positive response about the Lightroom Steel. But every once in a while, I get an email of somebody showing an example of using the preset that just kind of gave a strange result on a preset that was intended to be pretty basic and not much of a dramatic change. And so I really looked into this, and it seems like the white balance really is the issue. Now, on most photos, almost all photos that I take, I'm warming up the white balance. I'm taking that slider of the white balance and bringing it over to the yellow. And by doing that, it really makes everything look more natural. RAW files shoot a little bit blue. Cameras will always shoot a little bit blue for most photographers' taste. And there are good technical reasons for doing that. But most photos, you're probably going to want to warm up. The problem is when you add that in a Lightroom preset, it can give some really wonky results. And so I was left with a real conundrum. Either I need to make different sets of presets for all different cameras, which was a real option, and I wanted it to be right, or I needed to find a different way to warm things up. And so one way that I did it in most of the presets that actually worked very, very well and made it much more standardized between the cameras is I've used the split toning section, and I've just warmed up just the highlights with a little bit of yellow. And then it gives the appearance of there being a warmer white balance, even though technically it didn't change the white balance. So I was really happy with that method. If you're making your own Lightroom presets, that's definitely something I would recommend doing so that your presets will be much more useful on a wide variety of photos. Well, the Lightroom preset steal is here. It's available on improvephotography.com. Last week, I talked about the video training that's in there. I also added a Mastering Tough Landscapes video training to the flash photography training. But seriously, I will curl up in the corner and cry if you don't watch that flash photography training that I call Jim Harmer's Lighting in a Flash. I put so many hundreds of hours have gone into that to making it just perfect. I'm really excited about what it's going to do for everybody's photography and seeing the things that you'll learn from it. My two favorite presets, though, are splits in the landscape panel and also the angelic glow in the presets section. So be sure to check for those as you get the Lightroom Steel. Everybody, I really appreciate your support of Improved Photography. Improved Photography has just been a dream for me. It's totally changed my life. And when we do the Lightroom Steel each year, I put everything that I have into making it perfect for you, because I really am grateful for the trust that you have in me and in the team here at Improve Photography. So I appreciate your support. So check it out at improvephotography.com/presets. The deal is available for pre-order right now. The official sale and the launch of the presets is November 30. That's Cyber Monday in the United States. And so if you've pre-ordered November 30, right at midnight, you'll get your presets, get your whole package emailed right to you so you don't miss it. But the sale only goes 72 hours and starts on Cyber Monday. So don't delay. Get it right now at improvephotography.com/presets. If you miss it, it's gone. After 72 hours, I increased the price significantly, but I can't quite put it to the full $400 yet because we have some caching issues that sometimes people have ordered and got a different amount in the cart than on the website. So I have to keep it for a couple weeks higher, and then we can finally put it to the $400 once we get our caches fully purged all over everywhere. But don't miss it. 72 hours. Right on Cyber Monday, you will not find that price the rest of the year. This isn't like a furniture sale. This is a real, true Black Friday sale, so be sure not to miss it. Thanks, everybody, for your support, and we will see you in the next episode.